Okay. This is Don Blumenthal. And a reminder, please introduce your or state your name when speaking for the record. I've not been good about either reminding people or even doing that myself. Here we go. welcome to the call. Tuesday, January, 28th. Should we do the roll call?
So, Don, this is Natalie. I'll go ahead and do the roll call for you. So, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the PPSAI Working Group call on the 28th of January, 2014. On the call today, we have Tatiana Kramtsova, Amy Bivins, Tobias Sattler, Graham Bunton, Justin Macy, Kathy Kleiman, Todd Williams, Steve Metallitz, Emily Manuel, Billy Wattenpool, Michaela Nalen, James Bledel, Alex Deacon, Don Blumenthal, Ben Anderson, Darcy Sutwell, Jim Bykoff, Valeria Sherman, Milo Lemineur, Griffin Barnett, Paul McGrady, and Colonel Charleville. Susan Fosser has informed us that she will be joining the call a few minutes late today. We have apologies from Stephanie Pirem, Osvaldo Novoa, Stefan Hammock, Wolver SC, Holly Raich, and Joe Catapano. From staff, we have Mike Zucker, Marika Koenigs, Mary Wong, and myself, Natalie Perlgin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Don.
Okay, I appreciate it. I'm sure we'll have a few more people join us as we go along here. I apologize in advance. I see a chat conversation about the weather, and I'm not going to get into comparisons, but my voice is not doing well, given what's happening here in Michigan. I wanted to today really kind of focus on moving forward. We've got, I think, the last version of the charter questions and the subgroups, I think are real, I think are a very good framework to start from. That and the mind map will be of necessity moving targets as we move forward. We'll find some things that, after all, don't make sense to look at. For example, the as has already been noted, the status of the 2013 RAA, we may find as we move along that there's some issues we've missed. So I wanted to, at this point, on the assumption that the document we sent out last week is essentially final, just to ask if there's any major or any major issues that we really do need to revisit. I'd like to hopefully limit this discussion to 10 or 15 minutes, but we'll see how it goes. Kathy?
Hi, Don. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Great. Hi, everybody. This is Kathy Kleiman with a cold. I feel a lot better than I sound. Don, I'm definitely in favor of moving forward, and with the letters out, we're moving forward. And now, as I understand it, the charter questions grouping that we're working with, as well as the mind map equivalent, is our internal questions for going forward. Is that right? And if so, then I have a follow-up.
It's the basis for our moving forward. That wasn't clear enough. We've used the charter questions as our core because that's what we've been assigned to do by the DNSO. But as we move forward, we're going to have to do a lot more in the way of the subheads, or the subpoints, or the bullet points, or whatever you want to say, call them. And as we move forward, I suspect that those bullets will get their own sub-bullets. Or be taken out.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. In that case, may I propose a follow-up?
Sure.
There's one area under registration where I think, first of all, I like the document that's out. It combines a lot of questions and issues that have been raised by me, by others in the working group, and the new bullets underneath the charter questions are very detailed and balanced. It's interesting. I think it will help raise great discussions. But under registration, which is Roman numeral 3, I think we're still missing a baseline question that I had proposed in my documents and I wanted to propose for all. Before we jump into, commercial versus non-commercial versus, personal purposes, do we want to ask an initial baseline question that says, do we, for purposes of the Proxy Privacy Accreditation Working Group, do we even want to be looking at classes or categories of proxy privacy users at all? Let me follow up with the finding of the WHOIS review team that users of every category we know, commercial, non-commercial, and individual, all had reasons that they wanted and used proxy privacy services on a regular basis, whether it was holding back a brand name until the marketing campaign could be developed, or a political group that just didn't want to be organized, didn't want it known where they were organizing physically, and, of course, individuals. So, anyway, that proposal for a baseline question in registration, do we need categories at all? Thank you.
Fair enough. And let me just toss in there before I open it up that I think there was some misunderstanding on the question that had been raised, that Kathy had raised before. My introductory note last week, for example, was because I had misunderstood. I was reading it as wondering whether there should be privacy proxy at all, and that's where I suggested that decision is done. But what Kathy just raised is something significantly different from how I and at least a few other people have read that question. I'll throw it open, Steve.
Yes, thanks. This is Steve Metalitz. I think the baseline question is already in there. I think if you look at 3, the first question is, should ICANN-accredited privacy proxy service providers distinguish between domain names used for commercial versus personal purposes? If the answer to that question is no, then most of the rest of 1 is moot. And I'm inclined to my vote would probably be no, and that would make the rest of that moot. Similarly on 2, should there be a difference in the data fields to be displayed if the domain name is registered or used for a commercial purpose by a commercial entity instead of a natural person? That's a yes or no question. If the answer is no, there should be no difference, then, again, a lot of those sub-bullets fall out, and similarly with number 3. So I think we have the baseline questions in there. Those are the ones we were given. And our answer could be no. Our answer could be we don't need to delve, to come up with a distinguish commercial versus personal versus trading, and some of these other fine points if we think that's probably not something that needs to be in the accreditation standards. Now, if we do think there needs to be that distinction, then I agree we have to get into these sub-questions. But I think what Kathy's asking for is already in there. And there may be some other examples in this document of questions that if they're answered one way, it makes it less necessary to get into some of the other questions. But I think this is a good example of that. Thank you.
Appreciate it. James?
Thanks, Don. James Bladel speaking for the transcript. And up until about maybe 10 minutes ago, I agreed exactly with Steve's assessment that was already captured in Roman numeral 3, item number 1. While Kathy was speaking, it just kind of caused me to go back and look a little more carefully, and maybe I'm splitting hairs here, but it looks as though in Roman numeral 3, question 1 is talking about the content or the nature of the content of any services probably web page, but other types of services that are associated with a domain name. And Roman numeral 3, question number 3, is just different in that it's discussing the nature of the registrant. So I guess it was only after Kathy raised this and I went back and read it that I see that I think what she's aiming at, I don't want to presume to know what she means or to speak for her, but it looks like she's aiming at there is a distinction between the first and the third question, and one is aimed at content of services and the other one is aimed at the registrant of the domain name.
Right. Thanks. Michele?
I'm sorry for the background noise. My building is currently being power washed. Kaylee Nayland for the record. I'm a bit confused. I thought we'd already sent out this questionnaire. So are we talking now about addressing those questions within the group? Or what exactly? Because, as far as I'm aware, all SOs and ACs have already been sent the questionnaire.
No, this is the document that that's for our internal use.
Okay, so in other words, if we all were to say that we categorically believe there should be no difference between commercial and non-commercial, then, as Steve says, a lot of the other questions related to that become moot.
Well, yes, if that's the decision, but I don't see us making a decision until we get the returns on the questionnaire. To be honest, in a perfect world, if we had the time, I would suggest we kind of just step back until we get all the responses to our letters, but that's just not feasible. So this, right now I see this document as letting us move forward on our work. There's nothing wrong with coming up with some of our own thoughts, but they're going to be subject to what we see in the response from the community.
Okay.
I'm looking at that address it? I guess so. Okay. Okay, I was going to say something, but Kathy?
Don, I can certainly wait. Go ahead.
No.
Okay. Is there any downside to talking about, I just wanted to throw it out to the group, any downside to talking about categories of, you know, a baseline question? Because once we start into the other questions in the registration, I've noticed everyone devolves into definitions. What are the definitions? Commercial, non-commercial, purposes, entities. So, again, a baseline question may just save us a lot of time right there. Do we want to start pursuing categories or classes of users in proxy privacy services? If we say no, it's going to save us a lot of time. Thanks.
So we just say no now and go home? Or at least take the month break because we still want to work,
right? Well, no, then we get to go on to lots of other good questions.
Oh. Okay.
Sorry, Don, you're not off the hook. You're a great chair. Thank you.
James?
Hi. So I think maybe building on what Kathy was saying, perhaps rather than, you know, changing up the ordering or the grouping of the questions, we can take a look at or identify dependencies between the questions. So, for example, if you answer question Roman numeral 3, item 1, a certain way, then that sort of presumes that you're not going to answer a different question a different way because you kind of box yourself out a little bit. So maybe that would be a different way of going through this document rather than grouping them up, is saying, okay, this question is related to this other question that comes later on, and your answer will be determined by something. You know, it seems like some of these questions are handcuffed together, and it would be perhaps a good idea to identify where those handcuffs are.
Yeah, good point. I want to suggest we keep that in mind for a later discussion on the value or keep that in mind for later discussion when we talk about whether we should break into subgroups or keep this work as kind of a committee of the whole operation? You know, the whole question of cross dependencies. Kelly?
Yeah, just briefly. I mean, I think asking that fundamental question of the people within this group probably wouldn't be a bad idea. I mean, if we all agree that the category concept is a bad idea, there's still plenty of other things for us to discuss. I mean, there's things which touch on a whole range of other issues which are important. I mean, ultimately, from my understanding at least, I mean, this group's remit is in relation to accrediting privacy proxy providers. You know, that really should be the focus and the goal. Thanks.
Good point. And we are and I think we need to do this. We need to frame our questions to give ourselves kind of a roadmap before we get started. But we have to wonder. It may be a while before we get to some of these things. Because under the main issues, you'll see this of see questions that point more toward the title of the working group, which is the accreditation. Just taking a quick look at the chat here. What I was going to suggest said I was going to say something and then saw a hand up is I initially agreed with Steve's reading, but let me just throw the question out. Does the second sentence there specifically is the use of, and to what extent does that limit the first sentence? Is that really saying, no, the first sentence isn't as broad as it looks at first glance, and therefore really should be adding a special question? Steve?
Yeah, thanks, Steve Metalitz. Well, you know, if you answer the first question no, then you don't really need to get to the second question, I guess. But really, to get back to what Michele said, our job here is to propose an accreditation system. And would the accreditation system include something that says you can't be an accredited provider if you allow people who have commercial purposes to use your service? If we answered that question, the first question, yes, then that would be the result of that. If we answer the first question no, then it would not be an element of accreditation for the service provider to have to distinguish between commercial purposes and non-commercial purposes, or perhaps going to question three, to distinguish between natural persons and legal entities and so forth. So I still think that the threshold question that Kathy is seeking is already in there, but I would be interested to know what her exact proposal is for a threshold question that could be added, because if that would clarify it, I should look at that. Thanks.
Okay, Kathy, you're on.
Hi, all. Crazy deep voice again. Steve, thanks for asking. What I had proposed was actually adding a question right at the beginning in the draft I circulated last week, adding an initial question in Section 3 registration that just says, and please feel free to make it better wording, should the working group create categories of proxy privacy customers or continue to support the current system in which proxy privacy services are available to companies, non-commercial organizations, and individuals? So that's the proposal. I can copy that and put that into the text chat as well.
Kathy, that would be useful. I was just looking forward to do the same thing, but you probably have it right in front of you.
Okay, it'll take me just a second to cut and paste.
Okay. Well, it's longer than me finding the document and cutting and pasting. It's shorter than me finding and cutting and pasting. You know, what I'm afraid of is we're getting bogged down too much here in looking at for purpose versus all the other qualifications. The fact is, GNSO gave us a title, but fundamentally, within the question to add takes our scope in some interesting different directions beyond pure accreditation. And I think one of our challenges down the line is to figure out how to fit them all together. Mary?
Thanks, Don. This is Mary Wong from ICANN staff. And Don, in the interest of moving the work forward, and I see that Kathy has typed her question in the chat, one of the sort of earlier chat discussions today was about how we capture this discussion, you know, Kathy's point, Steve's, James's, and so forth. And staff is wondering if it would be helpful if, rather than create another question for further discussion, although we can do that if that's the will of the group, is if we added a footnote to this particular question one under category Roman 3 that captures the flavor of some of the discussion today as a threshold issue, and as James says, flagging it for possible further discussion. And that further discussion could be along what Steve is suggesting, those lines, as in these may be threshold questions, and so the dependencies and conditions can be worked out at that point, for example, if that is a subgroup, and we can have a footnote in this document to sort of remind us when we get there to have that discussion.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm getting some strange sounds from my computer here. Yeah, and let me stress here, what we're looking to do here is come up with our core document to move forward with. As I said, there will be changes and additions and subtractions as we go along, just as there will be on the mind map. Gemma?
Thank you, Don. I'm experiencing some problems in hearing you. Can you make sure you are close to the microphone?
Yeah, I'm looking at the chat. I see there some people are hearing me fine and some aren't.
Sorry. Well, I wanted to make a procedural question. I'm new to this working group, GNSO working groups, and as the letters have been sent out already, and I guess they contain the controversial question of whether proxy and privacy services should accept clients who are commercial entities. I wonder what is the purpose of this paper, this question paper. Shouldn't we wait until we have the input we are requesting from other constituencies? Or I mean, I don't know if we are trying to structure our future work when we receive the answers. What's the aim of the questionnaire?
First name is Carlton. Last name is Samuels, Samuels. Correct.
There's some conversation in the middle, I think. Have you heard my question?
Yeah, no, I did hear your question. I think there was somebody was... I think Carlton was put through. And
yes.
Island controller didn't realize it.
Yeah, no, yeah, just to sum up, it's just I want to understand what's the purpose of this paper.
Don, this is Steve. Could I try to respond to Hamish's question?
Sure, and while you're doing that, I'm going to switch microphones, see if it works better.
Okay. Yeah, I think there is some confusion about this, but my understanding is we as a first step, the working group is supposed to seek the input on these questions from all of the stakeholder groups and the advisory committees and so forth. But I think it would be a big mistake to wait until we receive those responses because, based on past experience, they'll probably trickle in over a period of time. We obviously need to take that into account, but what their responses are. But we've been tasked to do this, and I think if we can make some progress on some of these questions, get our work organized, get started on dealing with some of these questions, we'll be able to integrate the inputs from the stakeholder groups and advisory committees and so forth as they come in. But I think otherwise we will likely be we won't make any progress between now and Singapore if we just wait for the responses. So I hope that helps to answer the questions. We will take that input into account, of course, but I think it's important for us to get started and organize our work and get going on it. Thank you.
Yes, I've understood. But you have to be open and flexible just in case you receive input from constituencies that you didn't expect to receive. You have to accommodate the responses afterwards. So this framework has to remain open.
This is Steve. I would certainly agree with that.
Yeah, this is Don. As something this complex, we're going to be adjusting, I think, as well into the process. And let me ask: is this headset better? Do I trash the old one?
Sound good to me.
Okay.
Sounds better, Don.
Folks, we're having problems. Oh. Michele, what was that?
It sounds better.
Okay, and I see what James wrote. Okay, the old one goes away.
Okay, I'm actually dropping off this call, sorry.
Okay, I saw your hand up there, but all right, have fun. Okay, is it done yet? I guess Michele has a transitional hang-up. Okay. I'm scrolling back, taking a minute to scroll back up here just to... make sure we haven't missed any, or I haven't missed anything on the... in the chat. Okay, well... Oh, Marika? All right.
Yeah, this is Marika. Maybe just to reiterate what I typed as well in the chat to Gemma's question. I think part of this exercise will hopefully help identify the working group as well, whether there are any areas or specific questions that will require additional research or data, so we can already start working on that and gathering that. And in addition, I think one of the main objectives as well is for the working group to decide how to tackle this workload, by breaking up in charter questions, hopefully next discussions will focus on as well, like how are we actually going to deal with that, and is it the whole working group that's going to look at each of these categories? Do these need to be further broken down? Do they need to be done in a certain sequence, or can they be handled in parallel? And I think all that discussion that we're having now is really, I think, relates back to one of the initial tasks that the working group has been assigned to, which is developing the work plan. I think all this discussion really is trying to frame that debate so that at the end, we have something that we can translate into a work plan and identify how the working group can really get from A to B in a set time frame that you identify based on this work, and as well as some of the things we've already outlined in the mind map that are taking place. So putting that all together in an overall overview, and hopefully that will help as well structuring a workload going forward.
Right. Thanks. That's correct. Steve?
Yes, Steve Metalitz. Just getting back to Kathy's question, and Kathy, thank you for submitting that again. I think it's somewhat redundant. I don't have a problem with this question with one caveat, and that is, when we say to support the current system, there's one aspect of the current system that we would this question poses a question about one aspect of the current system. Under the current system, anybody can use a proxy or privacy service for any type of registration in a GTLD. Whether the registrant is a person or a company or commercial, non-commercial, whatever. I think the question for us is, do we want to maintain that aspect of the system? Obviously, there's a lot of other aspects of the current system that the other questions and the other parts of this document address that would be significant changes to the current system. But I have no problem with asking if we want to retain that aspect of the current system that allows anybody to register a proxy or privacy service. And then once we answer that question, we'll know whether we need to go into some of these other questions in Section 3 or not. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I agree there, as well as Kathy. And then to borrow a term that the NCSG used a while back, or somebody did, I think there was a question as to whether the GNSO was looking at whether we need to look at status quo or not, and status quo is that there are no distinctions. Amr?
Hi, thanks, Don. I had a question, but I think to an extent Steve answered it. My question was just that I'm a bit puzzled about what it is we're discussing regarding the first question under the category Roman numeral 3. The text that Kathy suggested seems to me to be perfectly in line with the charter question that we're required to answer, and I'm just a bit confused, to be honest, about what it is we're debating regarding answering this question and whether it should be up there or not. But I guess Steve just said that he's fine going ahead and deliberating on this point, unless I am still misunderstanding something.
I don't think there was really a debate. And I think to the extent there was, Steve just did resolve it. The question early in the phone call was whether question one, in fact, did include the understanding that we could look at whether there should be categories or not. If you look at the first sentence in question one, you can easily read it as saying that Kathy's question was redundant. If you add the qualification after that, well, maybe not. Maybe it's not so clear-cut. I think that's what you heard. That's where the issue came up. I'm seeing some questions for wording distinctions. For wording changes, please continue with those. As Marika suggested, we will take a look and ship out another document, hopefully fairly soon. So the people really do have a chance to review and consider and discuss, even on the list. The list has been quiet the last week, which is okay, but a lot of good discussion can go on apart from the call. So just want to encourage that. James?
Hi, Don. Thanks. James speaking for the transcript. And something that just sort of dawned on me through our conversations here, and I don't know if it's a non sequitur or if it fits nicely into this Roman numeral 3, but certainly the thought would be that if there is some understanding that certain types or categories of registrants or uses of a domain name are not to be allowed access to privacy or proxy services, then I guess the secondary question to that would be, how do we make that determination both for existing use cases and for use cases that maybe haven't been invented yet, or categories that maybe seem like they're not a problem at the outset but later become one? I mean, how do you demonstrate there is a burden or a threshold of harm is occurring in order to draw a box around a category of user and say, you know, you have lost your access privileges to these services? So I don't know if that's a question that we could insert somewhere in here in a way that's meaningful.
Yeah, I think that will be part of what we do as we go along. You know, set the standards for whatever privacy proxy is, but then also what are the sanctions for not following what our criteria, no, not our criteria, for what the ultimately adopted criteria are.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Don. It's actually a little... different, and perhaps I'm not being very clear. I am fumbling this a little bit, but saying, for example, if we were to say that you know, users with blue eyes, for example, are not allowed to access the system, then we would have to have, I think, some objective way of demonstrating that allowing users with blue eyes is a problem. Or later, if we determine that people with green eyes have the same sort of issues, then how do we then propose new categories would be blocked access to the system in the future, maybe something that didn't occur to us at the time of this. So I feel like if we're going to set up this structure for categories, that we need to make sure that we're not just arbitrarily saying these folks are okay and these folks are not okay, and what is the test, what's the standard to determine to make those calls. I think that that's an important part of determining that that some uses are okay and some uses are not permitted.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I see where I misunderstood. Thanks for clarifying. Yema?
Yes. Thank you, Don. As I said on the chat, I want to make some remarks on some other parts of the document. May I?
Definitely.
Okay.
You've kind of blown past my 15 to 20 minutes, so sure. Yeah, and I think
I'll be quick.
No, don't. What I'm just saying is, yes, please, I think it's time to look at some other issues.
On the section called Main Issues, there is a question number 3. And in italics, it's written, consider a takedown of domain name as an option and consider consumer option for different methods and notification issues. It's okay, but... if the proxy and privacy service receives a request to review the name and contact details of the registrant, it's, although the domain name can be taken down, the requester may still have the right to have the data, because the registrant may have committed an offense or whatever and has to be prosecuted for what he has done in the past. It's good that he is not continuing, is not keeping on with the illicit activity. I just want to raise this issue. Then there are some questions that are, for me, are very closely connected. are the ones in the section relay. And I suggest that the questions that begin with, does it matter where the inquiry originated? Should country where activity was supposed to have occurred matter? This question in this bullet, I think that they should be repeated for the question related to relay and to the question related with reveal, as well as to the question related to disclose, or by private parties. It's not very clear for me what you are asking for in this last question. But I think that they should receive the same treatment, wording the questions differently or asking different questions as regards law enforcement authority. It could be clear if the questions are the same for the three actions, reveal, relay, and disclose. Well, these are my general questions. I will go through the document more in depth, and I have more suggestions. I will do it on the mailing list. Thank you.
No, Gemma, I appreciate the thoughts. I see what you mean there. To be honest, I think some of these questions may turn out to be problematic. Well, we're going to have to distinguish as we go along on what our recommended policies are going to be, with knowledge that local and national laws may conflict with our recommendations, but they're important issues for us to address. And I see your point about addressing them in other sections. I appreciate it. I just wanted to go back. I'm flipping windows here. I find it easier to read the document in Word rather than in the Adobe room there. Back up under main question, your point about what you raised about point three. So you're suggesting that we should make it clear that if a service provider or a registrar takes the domain down, the registration information would still be available to whoever was bringing action?
Yes. This is what I wanted to say.
Okay. We'll take a look about clarifying that. Oh, I think if I got a court order saying, give me the information, I wouldn't care. But I'm just injecting my lawyerly background in the process. That's probably not appropriate. But yeah, we'll take a look at that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Addressing Amr, I'm not aware of any laws concerning privacy. Let me not address. I just saw Marika's hand up there.
This is Marika. Just basically in addition to the points that Gemma made, just to basically encourage everyone to look at this document and send any additional sub-bullets or edits to the sub-bullets or additions to the sub-bullets to the mailing list, preferably in red line, I think, so that everyone can see what has been changed or added. So we can use that, indeed, as you referred to before, as a kind of living document where we start capturing what are some of the issues or items we need to address when going through these charter questions, when the time comes. And it makes it easier as well for us to keep track and making sure that everyone's that's very visible for everyone where certain suggestions or edits are coming from. So that would be really helpful.
Yeah. Definitely, I appreciate you raising that. Discussing them online on the phone call is great for back and forth, but if they're done in the document, it eliminates problems with making sure we got the point right. So a combination is always good. Steve?
Yeah, this is Steve. I just following up on what Marika just said. You know, I don't think we should worry about getting every single question in here before we start, you know, discussing how they should be answered. You know, I think we're going to do one of two things. We have to, and this is obviously something that the group has to decide. Either we're going to start working our way through these questions as a group in some order, or we are going to divide up into subgroups, and those subgroups will work through questions in certain sections, or we might have a combination of those two. But I think as we get into those discussions, inevitably, you know, other refinements of these questions will come up. So I don't think we should worry about having absolutely every question put down here in black and white before we get started on answering them. And again, I don't, you know, there are a lot of questions here, and I'll take the bullet under Roman numeral 1, number 3 about the takedown. I think that's a good question. It's a good something to be considered. I'm not sure I certainly don't know what the right answer should be. And there obviously there will need to be refinements of that if it's pursued. But you know, I think the sooner we can get started discussing possible answers to these questions, whether in the full group or in subgroups, I think that will move our work along. Thanks.
Definitely, appreciate that. It is easy to get bogged down. Because, as I said before, this is going to be a moving target right through our processes. Scanning to the left here again. Okay. Let me encourage more discussion on the list. What I'd like to do, because as we said, documents for review, and we've looked at the grouping of charter questions quite a bit. Marika, could you bring the mind map up?
Yes, give me
1 second. Whoa. I feel like I'm in one of those mirror things, seeing things where you chose a mirror.
Yeah, sorry, I shared the wrong screen, so I think I now know which one to share.
Yeah.
Let me see if this works better. Oh, no.
Yeah. For those of you on Adobe, let me encourage you to go to full screen, although that will mean you're losing the chat section. That's the disadvantage. But that'll let you see the whole thing.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I think I have some issues in actually sharing it live, so I'll have to pull up the PDF and share it in that way, because I don't think you're able to see it now, are you?
I've got a...
Let me give it one more try.
A non-IBM blue screen. I'm sorry, I'm reading Luke's comment there.
I'll just pull the static one up. For some reason, Adobe Connect is not agreeing with me today.
That's
okay. All right, we've got this, and full control. I think when I drag my pointer, is it blanking out for everybody or just me? I guess just me. Okay. What I'd like to do maybe next week then is kind of practice a bit so we can bring up active mind map, because I wanted to kind of build out a little bit of our discussion today, both to continue work on the mind map, but also let people see how it flows based on some conversations of the last couple of days. That's better than just a general, more useful than just a general description I sent last week. I just want to remove skepticism that it's a worthwhile tool, which I know has existed on some other work groups until we actually got to see it in action. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I mean, if the working group thinks it's helpful, what staff can try and start doing is actually take this information and start putting that into a kind of work plan. That can either be in the form of a table in the Word document. For some other working groups, we've actually put that in a kind of Excel sheet, and that may help visualize as well, I think, where we're currently at, because I think, you know, as I said, I think that on the basic requirements, I think, you know, several of those things are already in progress, and we have very clear timelines on when we expect feedback on those. But I think the next, you know, debate or discussion the working group probably needs to have is just how to start tackling these charter questions, and more, you know, not on what questions or issues do we need to address, but more to kind of how do we approach these. Are we going to approach these as a full working group? Are we going to divide ourselves into sub-teams? You know, are there certain, like we discussed before, are there certain threshold questions or categories of questions that will need to be addressed before we can actually look at some of the other questions? Because that will help basically define how to manage the remainder or the next steps of the work and reflect that in the work plan. And also a discussion around, you know, by when would the working group like to achieve some of these results? Is there a certain target or deadline you would like to set yourselves? And based on that, you know, we may need to review or reflect on, you know, is meeting once a week enough? Should we increase intensity? Or indeed, if working group says, look, we actually are doing this on a more longer term time scale, you know, do we meet biweekly and have, for example, sub-team meetings in between? So I think those are some of the questions we're hoping to get to probably at the next meeting, and just suggesting or seeing whether it would be helpful if we start a kind of skeleton work plan based on the information we have here, as that may help, you know, facilitate that conversation.
Marika, thanks. It definitely would be. I'm very much a stream of consciousness type person. I think I need to rein that in because time has escaped a little quicker than I expected it. So, yeah, that is something we need to start thinking about. Committee of a whole, subgroups, or a hybrid approach. The other thing I'd like to ask folks to at least consider is, for those of us, well, no, because we'll have remote. We've got Singapore coming up, and we need to decide if we want, if the work group wants to have a face-to-face meeting. I can't see any reason not to. So my vote would be yes. But the other thing we need to start thinking about is timing. If there are days or times of day that are going to be particularly bad for large groups of us, whether it's conflicts or if we say 6 in the morning, we'll just get a collective, are you insane, response. So again, we're interested in your contributions. If you're, Tuesday's generally a bad because it is constituency day. But if your groups have some critical meetings on other days you want to make sure we try to avoid, please let us know so we can factor that in. Marika or Mary, is there any other pieces of that that we should be throwing out in terms of planning? Face-to-face?
Yeah, this is Marika. You know, Mary and I will work on putting a request together and getting it in. I think typically we look at, you know, working with face-to-face meetings either taking place on Wednesday morning or Thursday morning, as those are usually the slots where there are no other big GNSO meetings or other efforts going on. I think as you already pointed out, there is, of course, the eternal debate on whether works better early in the morning as it means there are less conflicts, or doing it during the day, which from a timing perspective may be more convenient but more other things going on, but we can try to do our best to find a slot that has as little conflict as possible and hopefully will allow as well for remote participation for those working group members that are not able to travel to Singapore.
Yeah, and I will just point out to Mary, we used Thursday morning for the first meeting in Buenos Aires, and I couldn't attend. Well, that was before I had my current role, but I couldn't attend, and I won't be able to on Thursday. That Thursday 8 to about 11 is big for security. I don't have to be there, but it would be nice. So I'll just toss that in. And evenings are problematic for a lot of us. Although sometimes I think I'd love to have an excuse not to go to music night on Tuesday evening, but that's another issue. For those of you who don't know, Public Interest Registry is the prime sponsor of music night. For those who've never been there, it's karaoke, so maybe you understand now. Tell you what, we're at 11 o'clock. I will try to curb the stream of consciousness, which I just got back into. I apologize. And we'll move forward next week, address these pending issues about our work plan, hopefully including traffic on the email list in between on that, questions, and send us your conflicts concerning a face-to-face. And we'll take the process forward. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you, Don. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim. We now stop the recordings.